Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I seen this earlier tonight and I went, whoa. Now don't throw anything at me at this. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 2. It says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. We're considered conservative right wing. Anybody that would believe in abortion is in the left wing. Come on. Let's get real, folks. What's so exciting about it is our president give me the right to say whatever I want. You say, well, you've got too much influence. That's the way it started. It used to be that the men would get in the pulpit, and the men would say, this is what God says, this is how we should run the country, and that's why we've got what we've got. Now we've got people that are coming into the country wanting our country to be like their country, and their countries, for the most part, are still third world. Why would we want to go back to the way they were? So when you see that scripture, where do they get we're from the right and they're from the left? When you're taking lives and when you're killing babies and when you're believing in this kind of stuff, you need to reevaluate what you're believing in. God is a God of love. The enemy is the God of destruction. He wants to destroy. He wants to take away. It's in the Bible. He wants to deceive. He wants you to be deceived about things. But let's go back to the sermon. We are more than conquerors. We are. See, a lot of people don't believe there's a devil. There are some that even teach there is no hell. But in reality, there is that, because the scripture shows that. The scripture tells us that. The scripture explains that to us. In Ephesians 6:12, it tells us who we're wrestling. In 6:12, it says you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, which is what everybody's doing now in the media. They're trying to get their way to talk about, let's go to the reality that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places, which is the heavenly realms, which is the spirit realm, which is what you're, whether you can see it or not, you are fighting it every day. The influence of the enemy is against us all of the time, if you're a believer. See, if you're not a believer, you're going to hell. And the enemy is not bothering you, that person. But if you said yes to Jesus, then you have got an X on you that he's after you. And anybody that's in the right wing of the conservative side that believes in the Bible and believes that God brought this country for a reason and believes that God's got everything and believes that God created everything, then you have been marked, and he's going to come against you. But we've got to not emphasize the enemy, but we've got to emphasize that we're more than conquerors. And we've got to emphasize it doesn't matter what he throws at us, what takes place. I sat last, for a good example, a little more politics. I sat and listened to his speech for an hour and a half. He talked about the good that we went through. He talked about the good that's taking place, and he talked about the good that could come. He cut down nobody except for the abortion situation. He encouraged everybody to come together, but then the rest of the press took everything and twisted it. And if you had not listened to it, you would believe the press that it was an absolute forest. It was one of the best state unions ever been presented. Because he didn't cut anybody down. He just said, we have got to stop what's going on. But we're being deceived. And that's what the enemy's trying to do to everybody, right or left. He's trying to convince you that God's not got this country. He's trying to convince you that he didn't. Folks, this country was brought about for freedom of religion. That's right. This country is brought about to help the rest of the world. This country has kept peace on the earth. This country is still strong enough to destroy any country that's out there if we need to stop the enemy from taking over. Politics is what stopped slowing everything down, and they're deceiving everybody to saying abortion is okay. Show me where that's okay. There's no place and for no reason that that's okay. But we're being deceived. We're being tricked. We're not wrestling. See, our place is to stop the enemy in his tracks and to recognize that we can. Go to 1 Peter 5:8. And if I made you mad, I don't care. Dig it out yourself. Then come and show me where it says in here we can destroy children. First Peter 5:8. It says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to take this scripture and just, it's crazy. The other night I was watching, I love to watch specials, on animals and stuff, and they were talking about lions. A lion actually, we're not going to talk about the roar right now, but a lion actually, for the size of the animal, has a smaller heart and smaller set of lungs to where they can't run like the rest of the animals. They've got sharp bursts, but they can only reach 15 miles an hour, which a lot of your animals can well do 20 plus. They have sharp bursts, they run out of air real quick, and they're just deceiving you in what they're doing with their roar, with the way they do. To get their prey, most of the time it's at night. That's one of the reasons their scripture tells us, don't go to bed mad at each other, because night is coming. The enemy comes at night, the lion sneaks at night, and the only way he can get his prey is to sneak up on it. Well, you've seen cats. On a large size, they can only sneak up on the and devour on top of it. They can't outrun it. Anytime you see anything on television, the lion, most of the time, when they take off chasing, they don't get them. But see, we're deceived to think that all these things that's going on in our lives is going to take us out. I want to flip back to Romans, and I want to walk through these things that it says in Romans chapter 8. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, it says, shall distress, shall persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or of sword? Those are in there for a reason. And those are in there to represent what we are fighting. See, the enemy comes and prowls and sneaks and comes upon you, but he cannot. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Stay alert. See, our responsibility is to stay alert. Have you ever noticed anything in the jungle, and when you see the movies and you see, they're always eating and watching, eating and watching. See, we need to be doing the same thing. We need to be watching and what the enemy's doing. For example, the political situation. We need to see what's going on. We don't need to live it, but you need to see what's going on to watch and feel in the spirit what is the truth of what's taking place. Be sensitive, because see, if we're not, all of a sudden we will be taken over by something we didn't even know was coming along, because that's how the enemy works. He sneaks up, he doesn't let you know he's there until he pounces on you, and then he takes your breath away to the place that you can't win the battle. But see, we're more than conquerors when we recognize and we see some of the stuff that goes on here. See, everything is accusations. Everything is accusations. Everything that comes across is there. He accuses you. Everything that's listed in here, tribulation, for example. Tribulation is a hard time. Tribulation is, It's something that we go through. The Bible says that in the scripture that everyone's going to have tribulation. But during that tribulation, if you know who you are in Christ, if you know you have the victory, you're not concerned about the tribulation because you know you'll come out the other side. So what happens in the midst of... See, it says the enemy accuses the brethren. I think it's in Revelation 12. He accuses the brethren. Well, what's he doing? When you're going through tribulation, which the Bible says you will, he'll take that tribulation and he will make it so much bigger than it is. He will make you think that you're not going to make it. And during that tribulation, he's trying to convince you that this word is not true and you're not going to win. But the Bible tells us we're more than conquerors. And the Bible tells us that you're going to get through. And the Bible tells us you're going to have tribulation. So our place is to recognize what the word says. Tribulation is trouble. It's trouble. It's trouble that's coming. I've had tribulation. You've had tribulation. And guess what? You're going to have some more. But see, if I'm going to have the victory, I've got to know that I've got the victory. And if I've read the word and the word says I am an overcomer, then I am an overcomer. If the word says I'm going to have tribulation, then why should I be surprised when tribulation comes? It's just part of life. And I know I'm going to get through it. I'm just trusting in you. And you come to that place of recognizing that we're taken care of. John 16:33 is where it says, in this world you will have tribulation. But then it follows up by saying, but I have overcome the world. So anything that happens to us, I'm going to win. You're all looking at me like, yeah, but I'm not winning. Yes, you are. We're winning when we feel like we're losing. And when you know that, it's like, okay, I'm going through something now that I don't like. I don't like how it feels. I don't like what it's doing to me. But I'm going to win. And it makes the going through. I mean, it's like playing a basketball game, and you're behind, but you know that before it's over, you're going to win. You'll play different. You'll just go ahead and do your routine and do what you've been trained, and knowing that there's going to be some shots made. There's going to be some things happen. There's something's going to happen between now and then that's going to turn the tide. And even if you win that last shot, you're going to win. And when you get a mentality that we're going through life and whatever's going on or whatever's taking place, I had a dream last night that was so real. It was like I woke up and it was like, Connie felt so bad last night. She was on the couch. And I literally got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and went out and checked her hands. She doesn't know that yet. And checked her hands because the dream I had was so real that she totally was recovered and totally well. Why would I look at the negative side of it when we're going through that tribulation? That's just part of our life. Why would I look at the negative and talk about the negative? Why wouldn't I express what was showed to me in the word as well as a dream last night? It was so real. It was like, it happened. Now, when I seen it hadn't, I wasn't bummed. It just was a dream that just showed me it's coming. And there's going to be, what a testimony that is going to be. Amen. I know that I know it's going to happen. But why should we live on the negative? Because that's the accusations and the things that Satan is accusing you of ongoing. He accuses, we've got to learn to win. And we've got to learn to know that we've got the battle. We've got to know that we're going to have the final point. We've got to know that we've got every situation. It's covered. It's one of those things that's taken care of. It's not something we've got to really... Romans 8:28 says all things. You know, it's like we got these scriptures and we go over them and go over them and go over them, but nobody grabs them. Me either. We've got to get to the place where whatever hits you, because we're talking about tribulation right now. Whatever this thing in life that's going on, it's going to be okay. All things will work together. Well, if he said that, then why wouldn't it? All things work together. It's going to happen. The young man we've been helping that has been coming in, he was here this Sunday and last Sunday. We've been trying to help him get his birth certificate. And it wasn't supposed to come in until the 1st of March. It showed up yesterday morning in the mail here. It was only out, I think, 2 weeks, Neil? 2 weeks it was here. See, that's one of those things that shows us supernatural favor. God's taking care of us. It will be okay. He couldn't work. He couldn't do anything until he got his birth certificate. Then he could get his license and all the rest of the stuff. But you can't get without that. And he figured, I can't work anywhere until. But God made a way. He always takes care of us. He always does. Then it says in there, in that set of scriptures, it says tribulation or distresses. Distresses is an interesting word. The D-I in that particular word means that it's double stress. So when you're going through distress, you're going through double distress. It's a time of your life where things are even worse. You say, well, Pastor, this is getting discouraging. No, this is life. Get past all of that. This is what we're facing, and you're going to be, folks, things aren't going to get easier. It says things are going to get like they were back in the day of Noah. Well, now, things were pretty tough back then. He's the only one, him and his family, the only one that got on the boat. Things were going on. But see, we've got the answer, and he's wanting us to be prepared when things hit and go bad. I mean, it's like New York voting that you could destroy a baby as you're delivering it. I mean, how much worse could things get? Well, it could get worse because it could go from state to state and the wrong people voting, and the Ecclesiastes would show that the wrong is a fool in what they're doing. But we still could be stuck with the consequences because there's not enough of us. But we got God, and he'll make it okay, or he'll take us home, because those days are coming. And I'm ready. Anytime you guys ready too? But distresses are extreme anxiety, sorrow, and pain, a feeling of being trapped and hopeless. Philippians 4:8 says, though, that you don't think on those things. You think on good things. It's all because the accusations that the enemy's making to you, and you're listening, and I'm listening, and we're taking these hard times, and we're allowing them to dictate our life, where the scripture says this is what's going on, but none of this will separate you from the love of God. Well, if the love of God is where we're at, then the love of God will take care of me in every situation. How much more will the Father do for you than you would do for your own kids? He's going to take care of us. He's going to comfort us. He's going to get us through. He is the strength we've got. But see, then it goes on down. It says persecution. Well, every one of us has been persecuted to a degree of what you believe. Go overseas and see how much they get persecuted. They're being murdered for what they believe. But see, another place, the enemy's using persecution for us to walk in fear, so we're afraid. What are the two things that people don't talk about? Politics and religion. Why? Because you're afraid of what people's going to think of you. I've had people leave the church because of my conservative belief. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. You can believe what you want. I'm just expressing what the Bible is saying. But see, when you're persecuted, you're persecuted for righteousness. And when you're persecuted, that's all a part of what the enemy's doing. And the enemy's taking persecution, and he's telling you, if you say that, if you believe that way, and if you let people know of your faith, they're going to make fun of you. They're not going to talk to you. They're going to think, you know, think about it, folks. Most of the world is not at church on Wednesday nights. Most of the world that know you and I think we're silly. You're doing what? Well, we go to church on Wednesday night. You go to church on Wednesday night? Our church didn't even open on Wednesday night. What are you doing going to church? Well, because we've got a relationship with God, and we want to know him better, and we want to know that we've got the victory, and we want to know that as he speaks to us in our heart. My prayer now, this last couple of months, has been, Lord, I want to know you better and better every day. I want to move in the gifts of the Spirit. I want to have words of wisdom for people, words of knowledge, supernatural things. I don't want to be flaky, but I want to be able to be used by you. And until I am intimately involved with him, I'll never know him. I can't live my life by myself. I've got to live my life with him and know that he's with me all the time and know that no matter what I go through or where I go, he is with me. Persecutions, tribulations, it doesn't matter what's going on because his love, he never leaves me. See, these are things we all talk about, but we got to get them deep down inside of us so it doesn't matter what goes on. We quickly just adjust ourselves. Neil today had a bad day, and his countenance wasn't just right. Didn't bother me because I knew he was having a bad day. But the Holy Spirit dealt with him in about 1 second, and he come down the hall after me and said, "Pastor, that look I had, I didn't mean that. I'm just not feeling very good." I said, "It's cool, man. It's all right." See, that's God moving in a heart that's tender. That's God's moving in a heart. We got to go after him, but we got to understand that whatever's going on, he'll deal with us and he'll make it right and you're forgiven and everything's cool. See, I used to live where when I did something wrong, I felt bad for a long time. I was taught that. We were taught, you know, you didn't clean your room, so you're restricted for a week. So now for a week, I'm gonna feel like a worm because I didn't do my room. Yes, I have to be trained. Yes, I have to be corrected. But everything that we do, it's like there's no grace. If you mess up, you're messed up forever. No, I messed up, but it wasn't forever. I'm going to start on maybe Sunday, it looks like. We're going to start talking about grace until you're sick of hearing about grace. Because grace is where it's at. We've got to come to the place of giving people grace, but until we understand grace, we can't give it. We've got to know. But God's a grace God. Everything, it's the gospel is grace. That's what Jesus was trying to tell the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I've come to eliminate all this junk. Let's start loving each other. Let's start accepting each other. Let's start understanding that I've got everything covered. Then it goes on in Luke 2:52, it says, he increased in wisdom. Listen to this. God increased in wisdom, Jesus did, and in stature and in favor with God and man. Well, how was that? Because he didn't let persecution stop him from his goal. He recognized it's a part of life, and I'm not going to listen to the enemy. Because bottom line, folks, we could talk every service about your mind. Every problem we have is between our ears. Everybody here, listen to me. I don't care who you are. Every time you get upset, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I said something to him about just general life, and he got mad at some other people because of something. I said, why? Well, because it made me mad. Like it's a normal thing to do. Well, I've so tried to go the other way. It's like, no, it ain't. You say, well, I got a right to get mad. No, you don't. Because if you're getting mad, you're just wanting your way. You say, well, my way's right. Who says? Well, I know she's wrong. Well, who said? I know he's wrong. Well, who said? And who cares? See, it's that mind game. You've got to come to a place of recognizing that's all part of these things we're talking about. This tribulation, these are all just everyday life stuff. Everyday life stuff. This, Neil, today, it was nothing. Now, don't make that it was, but it could have been. Because I could have walked the other way. I'm the pastor. You do what I say. That would have been really good. But instead it was like, it's okay. He's having a rough day because he'd been sick. He shouldn't even have been here, really. But see, God works with you when your heart gets soft. And he's so soft, he'll cry at a drop of a hat anymore. You've got to watch out for Neil. Why? Because he loves God. Why? Because he's letting God have his life. Why? Because that's where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be hard. We're not supposed to want our way. We're not supposed. We got to come to a place of recognize all these things are listed as everyday thing. Comes down and says, I want to read it again. I love it. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? Famine or nakedness is that time when you're lacking. That time when you have nothing. That time when you feel like you're not protected. That time when you feel like all the protection is supposed to. See, women, one of the things, women's main need is security. And when the man don't take care of the woman, then she feels like it's not adequate. Then the enemy jumps in and starts talking to her. I'll find somebody that will give me security. Now, with the man, he needs honored. See, the enemy's always working right here. But see, if you're walking through this famine and this nakedness in your life and you're not being taken care of, then the enemy comes in. If you've got a bill you got to pay and you don't have it, the enemy comes in. If you've got a job that don't make enough money, the enemy comes in. If you see the neighbor with a new car and you want something new, the enemy comes in. See, he's always out there, and these right here are telling you that doesn't make any difference how much money you got. He's still talking. You can't make enough money to stop him from talking. He's always accusing the brethren. He's always accusing the brethren. But we got to know this. And we got to recognize it doesn't matter. Don't make him your partner. Tell him to get out of your house. You got to know him, but it tells us to be wise. It tells us to know what he's doing, what he's trying. But then I know, so I don't pay any attention to it. I mean, I feel so sorry for, I know the president has got air just like all of us do, but I feel so sorry for him because he's on a constant, it doesn't matter. They were criticizing his wife over the gloves she had on last night. A lady that dresses better than any woman. And they were criticizing her gloves. He has learned to go, that's just the enemy. I'm not going to listen to it. My goal is to help the country. My goal is to get to. Now, not that he won't and hasn't made mistakes. I'm not saying that. But his goal is to help the country. And their goal is to stop him. They don't care about the country. I mean, it's black and white. And see, that's the problem. It's black and white now. We're in a time where you're either white or you're black. In the area of left or right. And see, we've got to understand that if the Bible says that all this stuff that's going on, it'll be okay, then we've got to start getting at that place and recognizing that Philippians 4:19, that scripture you just stand on. He will supply all my needs. That's what it says. The Bible says that he will supply my needs. We recognize, and we haven't got them figured up yet, but we recognize that our tax man made a major mistake in our tax this last year. He called and said, I got bad news. I said, what do you mean you got bad news? And he said, you're going to owe thousands of dollars. I said, oh, awesome. What do you do? I don't know yet. But I'm not going to worry about it. Why? Well, because it fits in here. Well, what are you going to do about getting it? I don't know. But see, it's the enemy. He's accusing. He's saying. He's talking. But I'm not listening. Because I don't care. Because it'll be all right. Because I know all things will work together. I may have to make some adjustments, changes, but that's okay. It's not the way I want it, but that's okay. Come on. See, you got to recognize some of this stuff that we're all excited about doesn't make any difference. Get up, love God, love people, and go to bed. It's so much more fun. But come to the place of recognizing he's got you. He's got you covered. He has got you covered. Then it says peril and sword. This, when you look it up in the Greek, literally means that it's a time where you're getting accusations of death, to the place that you're going to lose your life. Well, I think we could throw cancer in there. I think we could throw any of the major sick illnesses and sicknesses in there. We could throw, I mean, Connie's father, absolutely, if you got close to water, he absolutely would just, he'd live this like worry, worry. Well, why are you worrying? You say, well, I've got cancer and it's going to take me out. I mean, enjoy life until, stand for a miracle, do what the scientists have come up with to help you get along, get your miracle. But folks, we're all going to die. And you say, well, you can say that because you've not been diagnosed. You don't know what I've been with. I'm going by the Bible. And I'm preparing myself for whatever comes down the road. Because I know that life is like this. And I want to be able to be the overcomer. I want to be able to say, this is just life. I'm okay. I know God can fix me. I know he can take care of me. I'm okay. This peril, it will not separate me from the love of God. Zero. Will not happen. So you live with a different, and I'm not all there yet, but I'm getting better. But I'm going to get better than I am. Because I'm getting more of a revelation that if everything is going to, listen to me, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through on watching on the internet right now. It's going to be okay. He promises it. And if that scripture is not true, then why are we believing any of it? If he says he'll supply your needs, he'll do it. If he says you're healed, you are. If he says all things will work together, they will. If he says he never leaves you, he won't. Don't let the accusation, don't let the accuser of the brethren come into your thought life. Stand on the, he says right here, I don't care what goes on in your life. It'll be okay. Don't walk in fear. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about, listen to this. New Living, I think it is. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all. Case closed. Lord, I'm broke. I need some money. Lord, I need healed. Lord, my husband's driving me crazy. Lord, my wife's a lunatic. But I know she's going to do better. And I thank you for the time we had together. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you that it's going to be okay. See, you thank him for here, you thank him for here, and you thank him for tomorrow, because that's faith. It's the biggest faith words you can put out there. Lord, thank you that my needs are met. Lord, thank you that through this tribulation I'm going to come out through this hurt. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Those things that he's put on your heart. Lord, thank you that it's coming. Lord, thank you that it's going to be okay. Because it's going to be okay. He roars, it says in the scripture, like a lion. That's that area of scriptures that the scientists say that when a lion, you hear a lion roar, what he does that far is to scare you. He scares the animals, and the animals don't know what to do, and they'll turn and flee. They say that if you see a lion and he roars at you, the best thing you can do is stand and look at him. Now that would be tough. Because he's actually more scared of you. But now I don't know that I could run toward a lion. But the scientists say if you would, they would run away. Now we do the same thing with the enemy. He makes accusations and he roars at you and you freeze and you get scared and you run from your problem. So many times I've heard people say, well, I just didn't feel like going to church. How come? Well, I'm having a hard time. So you're not going to come where you can get relief? You're going to run away from your relief? Well, I quit coming to church out there because I'm mad at you for what you said. Well, why don't you come and get relief and find out what I said, or find out maybe I did say something to hurt you, and let's get it cleared up and let's work on it. I mean, let's you know, because the Bible does say if someone, you got aught against someone, it says go to them It doesn't say go to groups. But see, when the lion roars, you run. You don't know where you're going. You're not looking back. You don't know if he's even behind you anymore. He may just be laughing. Because when he's going to get you is when he's got you deceived in the middle of the night, in the dark. He's going to pounce on you because you've allowed the deception to come into your mind to the place where he'll overtake you. It's harder to get away from him. You hearing me? That's why he's saying nothing can separate you from the love of God. We are at a place in our life where he can constantly take care of you if you just come to that place and stand. Literally stand. It even says down there in 5:9 in 1 Peter. Let me go there real quick. You go there real quick. Maybe they'll put it up if they've got it. I don't know if I give it to them or not. 5:9, listen to what it says. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody's dealing with this. And he's saying, stand fast. Well, then we can go to the scripture in Ephesians where it says to stand. It says stand more than once through Ephesians 6. It tells you to stand in faith. It tells you to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's 6:11. It says stand against the wiles of the devil. Most of you know what the wiles, when you look that word up in the Greek, it's inroads to your mind. Stand against the inroads to your mind. When you hear the lion roar about any tribulation, any famine, any pestilence, anything that's going on in your life, you stand and go, no. I know that's what's going on maybe, and that's what it looks like maybe, but I am not impressed because I know that I'm going to have the victory. Do I need to adjust things in my life? Lots of times there's things going on. The Holy Spirit will deal with you about mistakes you've made. Just adjust them and move on. Don't worry about them. Just adjust them and fix them. And then just go on as you're forgiven because you are. And then move on. See, everything has to be adjusted in life. We're growing up, all of us. But you've got to come to a place of recognizing nothing will separate me, but I'm learning in the process. Everything will be all right. I can't just sit and do nothing. I have to do what he tells me to do. And he tells me that I'm forgiven. He tells me he's not leaving me. If he's going to leave me, then I don't believe the word. Well, I don't know where God's at. Well, he's with you. It says he's with you. I love how I used to pray and everybody used to pray, Lord, be with us. Anybody? Did anybody say that in their prayer life ever? Or was it just me? I mean, it was like a way you prayed. Lord, please be with us today. Well, what are you talking about? That's unbelief. That's not even scripture. Lord, thank you for being with us today. Thank you, you never leave us, forsake us. Thank you that we're overcomers. Thank you that I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you that I will overcome this. Thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that my wife is a prince. Thank you, Lord, even though she may be crazy. Thank you. Prophesy. Speak those things. Speak the positive into your life. Well, things aren't going like I want. Speak those things. But see, the more you speak them, the more you get it settled into your heart that it's going to happen, and the more that it's going to happen. And then you talk. We literally destroy ourselves by our mouth. I could cover a million things in all this. We allow the enemy to roar, and then we talk about the roar. We don't talk about the answer. The answer is always there. We've just got to humble ourselves and trust what he says and believe and watch what he does. I had a man the other day. I said, man, you know, you got a great wife. He said, yeah. He said, I do now. He said, we were a mess before we sat down and sat in your church and learned a little bit, learned about the word, learned the truth. We just turned things around by just talking good to each other. See, it's not Iva's job to get what Iva wants. It's Iva's job to get everything she can get for Jay. And then it's Jay's job not to get what Jay wants. Because Jay will never get what he wants. His job is to let to build Iva up and be whatever Iva wants. You say, well, it's got to be both sides. You got to work together because your heart, you're a servant in reality, folks. All of you are, whether you like it or not. You're serving. But if you get away from self and you serve and you want to please, now it seems like it backfires at times, but that's just all walking through life. Because you're getting into self again. When you just release this and let this go and know that I'm more than a conqueror. I know I'm victorious. I know I'm going to be healed. Even when Connie's hugging the porcelain. Ain't nothing feels better when you're throwing it up. That cold porcelain feels so good. See, there's even good in throwing up. None of you been that sick? It does feel good. I mean, it's kind of a relief when you, and then you fall down and that cold porcelain's right there. Oh, man. No, it's not quite that extreme, but it's the truth. God makes good in everything. That's just a good example. He takes care of us. But he wants you to come to a place of recognizing the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He wants to destroy you. And all these things that we read in Romans, it's just things of life. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4, take every thought captive. You all know that scripture. Don't allow the enemy to destroy what God is doing. Listen to the news, but listen with a discerning ear and go, no, no way. Both sides, all sides. Read the newspaper and recognize that a person typed that, not God. Read this knowing that God typed this and believe everything that it says. And when you believe everything that it says, it'll change your life. And the more you read it, the more you get it in, the more you recognize that it's there. And when you see have tribulation in your life, you go, well, Bible says I'm going to have this, but the Bible says I'm going to win. And the Bible says all things will work together. And the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says. Well, change that. God said. God said I'll have tribulation. God said I'll get through this. God said I'm an overcomer. He will take care of everything that's going on in our life. Folks, the enemy cannot fight the truth. Did you hear me? He is no truth. There's no truth in him. So when he's faced with truth, he'll end up walking away. He'll end up leaving you alone for a season. He did it to Jesus. Jesus was tempted, and it says he left for a more opportune time. And he thought he had him at the end. That's why he was so on top of it. He thought by putting him on the cross and killing him, it would destroy everything. But it backfired on him because he did not sin. He carried all our sin to the cross for you and I. Everybody here that believes in Jesus Christ is forgiven. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So you can just get the scriptures in you to the place where you can recognize every thought you can turn around. See, the enemy can't fight truth. Proverbs 3:5. Everybody knows that scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Come to the place in your life where tribulation, famine, anything that happens, you go, okay, Lord, where are we at in this? Are we giving up? Are we walking through? If you give up, you lose. You hear me? If you fight, you win. It's like back to sports. If you're playing basketball and there's never an end to the thing, you'll eventually get the last shot because you wear your enemy down and you'll finally have it. We have the victory. We are more than conquerors. When it says more than conquerors, that's what it means. It's actually a one word in the Greek and literally means abundantly more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We're abundantly more than conquerors. Let's stand up. Let's speak this over ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you by the internet and here, Father. We are more than conquerors. I thank you, Father, that we have the victory. I thank you, Father, no matter all the things we read in Romans, all these things, Father, Romans 8:35 tells us that we'll have, that there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be famine, there's going to be distress. All these things nothing can take away the love of God. It doesn't matter what goes on in our life. We know that you have given us the victory. Father, I speak victory over this group right now. I speak victory over those on the internet. And I thank you, Father, that we are more than conquerors. And we will see it more and more in our life as we not look at the problem, not look at the accusations, but look at the promises. We thank you for the promises, Father. We give you all the praise tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed. The kids will be out in 5 or 6 minutes. Anybody needs prayer for anything, I'll be up front.